Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Tomorrow, all across our country, there will be ceremonies where people will gather and honor those who have given their lives in service and defense of our country. Some of you may go out to cemeteries and place flowers and things on the graves of your loved ones. These are ways, expressions of love and ways of remembrance, memorials. That memorials are certainly not new. The Bible is full of memorials. It begins very early in the Old Testament. There are a lot of different memorials, different things that God had, in particular the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel, to do physically. To remind them of certain things. The Passover, we think of the Passover as a religious festival and feast, and it certainly was, but it was a memorial. It was for them to remember what God had done in delivering them out of the land of Egypt. Today in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses is going to remind the people of Israel of the Ten Commandments. This is a repeat of the Ten Commandments, and In that reminder, there are some things for us to remember as well as for them to remember. So I want to read this morning. I'm going to read the first 21 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 5. It's a little bit long. You know, it's good to have your family around with you to help you. Sometimes it's a bit of a problem, though. My son-in-law is doing the sound this morning. He told me if I wasn't done by 11:30, he was turning me off. He said, I'm shutting it down at 11:30. So listen, 11:30, we're gone one way or another. Most of you will be thanking him, I know. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. You know, sometimes when we think of God, God is big, God is huge, isn't he? And I like to think of God as being just massive, because he is. But sometimes that gets to be a little bit of a problem, because we think of God as being universal and we don't think of God as being personal. God created everybody and everything. God loves everybody. Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary for everybody. Jesus is going to return for everybody. That is all true. But it is also true that God made you and me. You know, we sometimes think, oh, God didn't create me, I was born. Well, listen, God created each of us. God loves each of us, you and me. God died for you and me. God rose again from the grave for you and me. God offers you and me salvation. Jesus is returning for you and for me. God is personal. And sometimes when we think of Him as being so big and universal, we forget that He's personal. That struck me as I read this passage this week because of verses 2 and 3. And I want you to listen to what Moses said. Moses said, the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us. We are all of us who are all of us here alive this day. You get the idea? Moses, hey, listen, God did this with you, not your fathers, not your those who would come after you, but you guys. This covenant is with us. And then he reminded them of parts of the covenant that God had made with them. He reminded them in particular of the Ten Commandments and the things that they needed to do and obey. And in that remembrance, there's one little verse, verse 15. And in the remembrance of the commandments, there was also a command to remember something else. And I think that's that was for them, and I think it's for us personally this morning that God wants us, even us, those of us who are here alive this morning, to remember. So I want to read verse 15 again, and then we'll look at it. Verse 15 says, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." First, they needed to remember their slavery. The first phrase of verse 15 says, "Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt." I got to tell you, when I read that, it caught my attention and it threw me for a little bit of a loop right at first. You remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the futility of remembering our past, in particular remembering our sinful past, because it has a tendency sometimes to drag us down, to think that we can't serve God, to think that we're prohibited from serving God. Sometimes, because we only have a tendency to remember only the good things, it makes us want to go back. Israel had that problem. When things got tough, they remembered only the good things of Egypt, and they wanted to go back. Here God says, I want you to remember, but he says specifically, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. Remember your slavery. God wanted them to remember their hopelessness. Slaves have no hope. These people in the land of Egypt, these Israelites in the land of Egypt, had been there for years and years and years. Hundreds, thousands, probably tens of thousands of Jews had died a slave, born into slavery, died in slavery. They had no hope. They couldn't escape. They couldn't buy their freedom. There was nothing they could do. It was every day the same dreary, drudgery slavery until death claimed them and their life was over. They were absolutely hopeless. And I think when God said, remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, I think He wanted them to remember their hopelessness. Now listen, the wilderness wasn't going to be a piece of cake. Wandering around for 40 years, they didn't know how long it was going to be. But wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years wasn't going to be a piece of cake, but it was a whole lot better than being a slave. In the wilderness, they had God's presence with them at the temple. In the wilderness, they had God to guide them, God to protect them, God to provide for them. He brought them food every day. You know, it wasn't the best thing in the world, but it was certainly better than slavery. Even when they got to the promised land. Well, it's going to be a lot better in the promised land, but before it gets better, we have to do all this battle, all this fighting, throw out all these people. And so it wasn't a piece of cake, but it was better than slavery, and God wanted them to remember that they were slaves. And their life in Egypt was worse, certainly worse, than their life now. We don't like to admit it, but we've all been slaves. Matter of fact, we've all been slaves to sin. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Usually when we read that verse, we talk about the fact that you can't serve two masters. It's one or the other. We forget the fact that it's one or the other. We are servants either to God or to sin. Now, we don't like to think about that, do we? I think every Christian is probably glad to say that I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think probably most sinners would never say, "Oh, I'm a servant to sin. I'm a servant of the devil." There might be a few who would, but most people don't want to admit that. I didn't want to admit that before I got saved. But that's what the Bible tells us. All have sinned, the Bible tells us. Romans 3:23, you probably know it by heart. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:20 tells us that when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. So we were all sometimes servants of sin. Free, meaning we had no righteousness. We were wicked. We were unholy. And in our wickedness, in our service to sin, we were hopeless. Ephesians 2:12. "That at that time you were without God, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." We forget that, don't we? We remember some of the things we want to remember. We forget the things that we don't want to remember, and we forget that we were hopeless. There was nothing we could do. We couldn't be good enough. We couldn't work hard enough to earn our way out of the condemnation of death for sin. It was hopeless. We couldn't make enough money. We couldn't buy our way out. We couldn't escape on our own. We were absolutely hopeless. We need to remember that, Christian. We need to remember the hopelessness of our lives before Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the Christian life is not a piece of cake. Is it? Christians have problems. Sometimes Christians have problems because they're Christians. Paul, many of the New Testament people, many of the Old Testament people were persecuted simply because they're Christians. Throughout history, people have had problems and difficulties because they're Christians. Today, while we sit here in this nice, comfortable, air-conditioned building, people are being persecuted, some are being killed, some are being beheaded because they're Christians. They're not criminals. They're not terrorists. They didn't break the law. They obeyed the law of God. The Christian life is not a piece of cake. I know sometimes we think, boy, when I get saved, after I get saved, boy, I'm going to get saved and everything is just going to be wonderful. Life is going to be a bowl of cherries. I'm going to have plenty of money. I'm going to be healthy. I've never figured out some of those folks who say, boy, if you're sick and you can't get well, you don't have enough faith. Well, what about all those Christians who have died? You mean to tell me that every Christian who's ever died just didn't have enough faith, or they'd still be living? You mean Paul didn't have enough faith, or he'd still be living? You mean Jesus Christ didn't have enough faith, or he'd still be living on this earth? Sometimes Christians get sick. Sometimes Christians die of that sickness. It's not a lack of faith. It's the plan of God. The Christian life is not a piece of cake. And we need to remember that our life before Jesus was much, much worse than our life with Jesus. Because you know what? Those who aren't Christians get sick and die of that disease. Those who aren't Christians have financial problems and emotional problems and family problems and problems at job, on the job. Those who aren't Christians, life is not a piece of cake for them either. But with Christ, we have hope. With Christ, we have the presence of God who indwells us 24/7. We have God to guide us. We have God to protect us. We have God to provide for us. We have God to give us peace. We have God to give us joy. We have God to give us hope now and hope in the future. The Christian life is so much better. But sometimes we get to feeling sorry for ourselves. So we need to remember that once we were slaves to sin. God wanted Israel to remember that once they were servants in Egypt. And then he said, I also want you to remember your deliverance. Verse 15 again, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. God wanted Israel to remember that they were servants, and God wanted Israel to remember that he had delivered them, and God wanted Israel to remember that he had delivered them by a stretched out hand and a mighty arm. He wanted them to remember the power of God that was displayed in their deliverance. Listen, the deliverance of Israel was not cheap. God single-handedly overthrew the nation of Egypt. Did you ever think about that? These people were slaves. They had no weapons. They had no desire to fight. They had been slaves for so long that their will even to be free was practically non-existent. Certainly not enough to fight for their freedom. God single-handedly overcame, destroyed, overthrew, whatever word you want to use, the nation of Egypt. He brought the 10 plagues upon the land of Egypt. You know that. Each of those plagues was an assault on one of the false gods of Egypt. So God proved that the gods of Egypt were just that, false and impotent. Those people in the land of Egypt, many of those people in the land of Egypt were ungodly people. They were the servants of Satan, and yet God overcame the servants of Satan. God overcame the power of Egypt. He destroyed the army of Egypt in the Red Sea so that he could deliver his people. God wanted them to remember the power that he displayed. The stretched out arm, the mighty hand that God used to deliver them from Egypt. It wasn't simple. It wasn't cheap. Well, the same thing is true for us, Christian. God has delivered us from our slavery to sin. Remember, we were all slaves to sin at some time. God has delivered us. And it wasn't cheap. Jesus Christ left the throne of glory. Jesus Christ left the throne of glory to come and be born in a stable, a cave, laid in a feed trough. He died on the cross of Calvary. He displayed his limitless love for us by yielding to death on the cross. Brutal death on the cross. Then he displayed his great power by rising from the dead and conquering death for us. Listen, our deliverance wasn't cheap. We need to remember that. God didn't come and drop a dollar bill on the plate and say, you're free. God gave his son and said, you're free. We need to remember the great passion of God that was displayed for us and the great power of God that was shown for us in our deliverance from the slavery to sin. And then that brings us to our responsibility. Verse 15, I'm going to read the whole verse. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. In this particular passage of Deuteronomy chapter 5, God is talking literally about observing the Sabbath day, coming to the place of worship on the Sabbath day, honoring God, worshiping God on that day. But the general principle of honoring, of keeping the Sabbath, is that we honor, that we keep, that we obey all of the commands of God. It would have done the Israelites no good to go out Sunday through Friday and disobey God. We would say, live like the devil. And then come to the temple on Saturday morning, the Sabbath, and worship God. God wouldn't accept their worship because they were living lives of disobedience. So the principle of keeping the Sabbath day is to be obedient to God all the time. Well, Christian, it's our responsibility to honor God. We have a responsibility because He has because we were once slaves to sin, because He's delivered us at great cost from that slavery, we have a responsibility to honor and obey God. And that means 24/7. That means Monday through Saturday, we need to obey God. And Sunday morning, we need to come to church. And Sunday night, except this week, we need to come to church. It does no good to live like the devil Monday through Saturday and come and sing the praises of God on Sunday morning without repentance. When Israel was in rebellion against God, they still brought their sacrifices to Him. And God said that the aroma of your sacrifice is a stench in My nostrils. Because it's not accompanied with obedience. It's not accompanied with love. It's not accompanied with worship. It's accompanied with disobedience and sin. I sometimes wonder if there aren't times when God looks down on some of our churches in the country today, and certainly on some individuals in our country today, and they come and they begin to sing the songs with the congregation, and they bow their heads when the prayer is made, and they go through the motions of Christianity. And I sometimes wonder if God thinks, listen, I'm not listening, I'm not paying attention to you, because your life is a life of disobedience. Christianity is just not talking the talk. Christianity, true Christianity, is walking the walk, being obedient to God. We honor God by being obedient to Him. Listen, can we remember that we were once, all of us, slaves to sin? And in our slavery to sin, we were absolutely without hope and without God in the world. And then can we remember that at great cost and by a display of great power, Jesus delivered us from slavery to sin? And then can we go out and honor God with our obedience and our love and our worship? Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to have a song of invitation. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you're still a slave to sin. Maybe even though God has paid the price to deliver you, you've not accepted that deliverance. Maybe you're here this morning and your life is one of disobedience to God. Would you come? Would you confess your sin and ask Jesus to forgive you and receive Him as your Savior? He'll do that. You come while we sing.